All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks. Getting thirsty. I don't know what it is lately. Y'all excuse me. That's not appropriate maybe, but we have three grandbabies, but one's seven, and I started running around with him outside in the last 3 or 4 days trying to keep up with him. It's hot out there, isn't it? It's hot out there, and he got me chasing Pokemon, so don't hold that against me. But some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Anyway, my name's Dallas Bennett, and this is my wife, Lynn. And I appreciate you guys asking us to come and share what God's put on our heart today. I'd like to start out a little bit. Let's start out with a little prayer. Is that okay? Let's do that and ask God to bless our time we have together. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to brag on you, brag on what you're doing in our ministry. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to share what you've given me for this church family this morning. I ask you to bless it, Lord. I ask you to help me say it right, not be try to impress somebody or try to be cool or whatever. I just ask you to help me share what you've put on my heart. And for God's people. And I thank you, Lord, for the ministry of these kids, too. That's awesome. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'm going to share just a little bit, if you don't mind, about 4.5 minutes about what my wife and I have been doing, or mainly me. My wife works at the hospital in Valdosta. We live in Valdosta. But I'm a chaplain and counselor with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And primarily, I've been working for probably the last 5 or 6 years at Penfield Christian Homes. Anybody ever heard of that before? Wow. Okay, your Baptist church. That's our fault. So anyway, Penfield is a ministry of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. It used to be called the Georgia Baptist Convention. Now they changed their name. And they've been working with folks who have problems with drugs and alcohol for about 40 years. And we have 3 campuses in Georgia. We have two male campuses and 1 female campus. And I work actually at the south campus, right above Nashville, Georgia. And we have about a 7 or 8 acre campus right there. And we're a licensed drug and alcohol treatment program in the state of Georgia. And so guys from Baptist churches all over and other folks too, men and women, which the campuses are separated, obviously, but they come and they stay with us for 6 weeks, and they don't work. They stay and they get good Christian counseling and mentorship and discipleship, and basically we lead them to the Lord, get them saved, and teach them about God's grace and His goodness and His forgiveness and how to be a man and, you know, how to be a father, and we take them this whole 6 weeks of discipleship. And they do group therapy and counseling and preaching, teaching. We teach them to church, go to church, and I do all the messages. Not all of them, but we have a couple other guys that help out too, and so we do that. And it's a real blessing, guys. I'm telling you, if you never heard of Penfield, if your men's ministry here ever wants a little project to come work on, I mean, we're just like 5 miles north of Nashville, so it's not a very long drive. It's powerful. I mean, I know I'm not here to promote Penfield, but every time I get a chance to brag on what God's doing there. In the Penfield ministry, we had 352 men give their life to Christ just last year. 352. Now, we're talking about folks at the end of their rope. Families broken, you know, just terrible stuff. And we are ministers of reconciliation, aren't we? You are too. We're ministers. God's called us to be ministers of reconciliation. So that's really what goes on our campuses, you know. You know, guys don't grow up wanting to be a crack addict. You know, they don't grow up wanting to be an alcoholic. That's not, you know, they make some bad choices, that kind of thing. Sin, and all of a sudden it catches them and grabs them and then takes them to a deep, dark place. With this many folks in here, half of you know someone with a drug and alcohol problem. That's the statistics. It really is. Either a friend, family member, coworker, or a neighbor. And it does catch up with them and takes them down a dark, dark road. And we get the opportunity to see lives changed big time. I'm about marriages healed, families restored, you know, children get their fathers back, and we see them become productive citizens in life, clean and sober, and no longer, you know, bound by drugs and alcohol or addiction. So that's my commercial. Thanks, Heath. I'm going to go now. But, you know, honestly, so if you ever, God puts it on your heart to support an awesome ministry, we appreciate it. You can go to PenfieldRecovery.com or the Georgia Baptist Mission Board and look under drugs and alcohol, and you'll see us there. And we have another campus up close to Athens, Georgia, Union Point. Anybody know where Union Point, Georgia is? Greene County. And then we have a female campus at Livonia, Georgia. And anyway, so God knows my heart. I just want to plant that seed on about Penfield. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. It's interesting because your church sign out there, I asked my wife, I pulled up and I was like, what? That's my message for the day. Have you changed it lately or has it been that way for a while? A couple weeks? Yeah. So that's awesome. You know, God's in control. You believe that? He's got all of us, you know, in the palm of his hand. And so he knows what he's doing, you know, I mean. And so that's awesome when you know, God, you know, confirms some things like that. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. That's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And let's see, what time we got? 11:30? We're good for about 1 o'clock? Just kidding. I like to joke. Is that okay? You know, I believe that God has an awesome sense of humor. I think, you know, anyway, I don't want to get meddling now, but I think religious folks get too stuck up sometimes, you know, and I love Jesus and I love bragging on him. I love teaching the word. So we're going to get into this morning and we'll be out here in about 24 minutes, right? All right. So here we go. Let's read. Did I hear amen? My wife said, can we go to, what was it called? Royal Cafe and Quit Me and Eat. Everybody been there for lunch? I like to eat now, so I'm sorry. All right, Luke chapter 10. All right, let's see what the Lord has to say. Verse 25, and it's a very familiar scripture. It's about the Good Samaritan, but I need to read it. Is that okay with you guys? So you can follow along with me. I got the New American Standard Bible version. All right, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus keeps saying, you know, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. And if you, I love to do word studies. When you really start really studying the Bible, I highly encourage you to start doing word studies. Really get into the deeper meaning of what the scripture is really trying to share with us. But if you look at that word as you will truly live, it really goes down a really awesome little trail because it talks about having, you know, joy and peace and really having a life full of abundance and that kind of thing. Anyway, let's keep going. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? It was a tricky little lawyer, wasn't it? That's who it was. He said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, well, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, just religious cat, right? Just going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Man, I don't want to get close to that, you know. I don't want to get close to that person, you know. Right? And so too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. There's a whole story about Levi, so you check that out if you want to study that. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. Now, this Samaritan was just kind of cruising along in life, going to work, going to Valdosta, going to Quit Me and Eat. He was going down the road, doing his job, doing his work. Right? So remember that, because I'm going to come back here in a little bit. He was traveling, came along the man, and he saw him. And he took pity on him. You study that word pity. It's awesome. We don't have a lot of time for that right now. But he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to a Holiday Inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii. Now, 2 denarii, now, most of you might know this, but 1 denarii is about 2 days of salary. About a little over 2 days of your salary. Okay, so this man took out 2 days of his salary. Almost, if you really study, almost a week's salary. Think about that one, right? Almost a week's worth of his salary he took out of his pocket, gave it to the innkeeper, and looked at him and said, "When I return, I will reimburse you any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Mercy on him. Had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So Jesus spent a lot of time explaining to him about what? About who? The neighbor. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time with the love in your heart, the love in your mind. You know, if you want to do a good Bible study, some of you probably have before, really dig into that scripture, love God with all your heart. What does that heart mean? With all your mind, what does that mean? With all your soul, really what does that mean, that soul? But Jesus, he kind of skipped all that and he spent a lot of time focusing on the neighbor. Anybody want to guess why? Definitely it was important for sure. But really, I think Jesus was really trying to demonstrate what it means to love someone. To really love someone. Now, I'm going to try to share with you in the next little few minutes what I believe the Word of God says about what is God's will for your life. What is God's purpose for your life? How many of you guys have really ever really wondered what God's will is for your life? Raise your hand. It's a pretty popular question that a lot of people have. And a long time ago, I kind of struggled with that because I thought it was really super spiritual. You know, this boy had to have this real super spiritual thing, or this hyper religious thing. You know that God's calling me to Africa, or God's calling me to some crazy place in America that was dangerous. You know, and I believe that God does call people to do certain things like that. I mean, the Bible's full of that. But here we go. Ready? But for us earth people. For us normal folks who are working and taking care of our families and paying the bills and that kind of thing. Okay? If you got something to write with, write this down right here. Ready? Here we go. For most people, God's will is not tied to a place. It's about our attitude. Yes, let me pre-qualify that again. God does call certain people to, you know, China and Africa and the inner city of Atlanta and things like that. But for most of us out here working and that kind of thing, God's will is not a place. It's an attitude. Okay, and I'm going to clear this up in a minute, so hang with me. And here's something else. God's purpose for your life. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God's purpose for your life is tied in to your spiritual and your natural gifts. Every one of you guys in here have a spiritual gift that God has given you. Even when you was in your mother's womb, the Bible talks about being dented. And that dented means that's really your temperament, your personality, or who you're going to be as a human being. Really. And that ties into your purpose in life. Why did God create you on this earth? What is God's will for your life? Well, I'm going to step out in a little faith here, and I'm going to share with you this morning what God's will for each one of your lives are. Isn't that awesome? We're going to settle that today. Can I get amen? Really? And it's going to be the Word of God, what God's will is for your life, and then what God's purpose is for your life. You're going to have to work that out, okay? You're going to have to work that out. But I'm going to give you some basics so that you can leave here going, I like this. I'm going to get into the Word more in this area right here so that I can maybe figure out what God's purpose is. What's God called me to do? Everybody cool? Good with this? All right. In the ministry that I have, you know, Lord, I don't mean to sound this wrong way, but we lead a lot of people to Christ, and you get guys that are fired up for the Lord, and they have a tendency to go, I want to serve God now. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I want to serve God, you know. And I say, awesome, that's great. Go clean a commode, you know. But not really, but sometimes I do, you know. That's kind of who I'm dealing with. And they'll say, I want to serve God. You know, I want to love God. You know, Jesus just told us, you know, he said basically the whole Bible, the whole entire Bible, we're going to sum it up. Old New Testament, we're going to sum it up with this. Love God and love people. Did y'all agree with that? You know, I kind of countryize things once in a while, right? I try to keep it real country, real simple to understand. I do that so that I can understand it and I can teach it in a simple way. And then people can gain the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. There you go. That's one of God's purposes for my life is that, you know, God spoke to me years ago. He said, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And I said, if that's the case, then I need to be a student of what I'm doing. You know, I need to be a student of the Word. I need to be a student of my ministry and what we're doing. And so I asked God to give me a passion and a hunger for the Word, you know. And he did. And I'm still learning and still growing. I love it when I get with a coworker and we start talking about the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you talk about football for a little bit, then after a while, you know, like, okay. But you get with a good brother or sister in Christ, you start talking about the Lord, it's like endless, isn't it? You just keep going and going and going and going and going, you know. So anyway, so Jesus is telling us all this is summed up in love God and love your neighbor. Okay, so here's what I tell people. They say, I want to love God then, okay? I want to serve God. How do you love God? Somebody tell me. Bingo! Right there in my notes. You must have looked at my notes, sir. But that's what the Bible teaches. It's real simple. If you want to love God, then love people. How many of you like to serve God? You like to serve God. Okay, then how do you serve God? Serve people. It's that simple. There's nothing really, you know, super duper spiritual about that, is there? There really isn't. Love people. You want to serve people? Wow, okay. That's where it's at. Jesus, you know, the disciples, you know, they were duking it out with each other. They were arguing and fighting which one's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Remember that in the scripture? You know, which one's, you know, and Jesus said what? What's that? The least of these. Yeah, he said serve. He said you serve. The one who serves will be the one that's the greatest in the kingdom. You know? So it's about service. Let me just read this to you. I believe God is trying to get us believers to see through this Bible scripture, his will for our lives is to love him and love people. And to love him is to serve him. And to serve him is to serve people. If that requires us to go outside of our comfort zone, like the Good Samaritan, right? I'm not telling you guys to pick up a guy on the side of the street now, right? Can't do that these days, unless really the Lord speaks to you about that and you've got, you know, three or four people with you. Right? Maybe, you know, I don't want to get in that. But when you get up in the morning and you get ready to go to work and you jump in your truck or your car and you turn out of your driveway and you see your neighbor over there and you know that her husband is in the hospital, and right? And you see the grass getting high. What could be something that we could do? maybe go mow her grass. And you don't need me to get up here and tell you all the many thousands of ways that we could actually serve people. I mean, you guys are serving people on Vacation Bible School. That was awesome, man. Those kids getting there singing. That's cool. You know, so you're doing it as a church body, but I'm really kind of trying to speak to you as an individual, you know, as an individual in your workplace, as you're going along in your workplace, in your business, in your office, you know. Think of ways of how you can serve people. Little tiny ways to serve people. All right, Psalms 37, verse 4. I want to talk about that in just a few minutes. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you desires of your heart. Everybody heard that verse before? Psalms 37, 4. I love to break the scriptures down to really get the meaning of what really the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us here. So, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. That word delight, and my wife reminded me of this week, it ties into 1 Thessalonians. It says to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. When you talk about delight, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, then you're giving thanks always, you're continually praying, and you're staying plugged in with the Lord. That delighting, that's what it means. It means even if you just get up in the morning and read a daily bread, right? Maybe listen to little Caleb on the way home. You come to church, you interact with Christian believers. Maybe you do a little Proverbs study for the day. Anybody ever done that before? It's a really cool way to start studying the Bible. And you're getting into the Word, and you're kind of saturating yourself, you know, with the Lord. You're delighting yourself in the Lord. Well, you know what He says? He says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, if you study that word desires, this is what it means. It means of the Father. It means of the Father. Everybody say that with me. Of the Father. That's what it means. So in other words, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, then He's going to deposit into you what? Those desires that you have. That desire to serve on the Vacation Bible School for next year, right? That desire to teach in children's church. That desire to give that neighbor, you know, take him or her a box of cookies and a little tract, maybe, you know. That, you know, to really step out faith and talk to that coworker about your relationship with Christ. How God's changed your life. God will deposit in you those desires. Those desires to do what? To serve people. God will put those desires in you to serve people. And He'll give you opportunities as you walk about your life. You don't have to run out there and be some church preacher on the corner. I don't know. I don't want to bash on that. Maybe people get saved. It just seems weird, don't it? I don't know. I'm meddling now. Sorry. You have to forgive me. But, you know, as you're going about your life and living a good Christian life with integrity and honor and character in your workplace, you're delighting yourself in the Lord, and He puts those desires in you. Now, I got to look at the flip side of that coin. Everybody ready? If you're not delighting yourself in the Lord, you know, you're not, you know, faith without works is what? Dead. So if you're not doing all these things, and you're not plugged in like the vine and the branch kind of thing, remember that? And if you're not plugged in, and you're not delighting yourself in the Lord, then where are these desires coming from? Now, flesh, the Bible says. They come from fleshly desires. They come from earthly desires. And that always leads to destruction, because the Bible clearly tells us that, what? Lust gives forth to sin, and sin gives forth to death. And that death could mean the death of your marriage, the death of your relationship with your children, the death of losing a good job. It don't necessarily. If you study that word, it means death means to wither, to decay, to rot, and to eventually die, be nothing, going away. Ever got it? So, it brings us right back to love God, and love your neighbor. I'm going to step out a little personal something here, so I hope you don't judge me, but I like the Duck Dynasty guys, you know. And I show Phil Robinson's testimony to our clients once a cycle. It's very powerful. I Am Second. Anybody ever seen it? It's very, very powerful. We pull up on YouTube, show it. And the first time I seen it, it really impacted me because the way he just kept, if you believe, you know, if you believe in what they're doing, not, I'm not, I don't want to go there. It's the message, though, the way he kept it so simple. He said, love God, love people, and just try to do good. Wow. How simple is that, right? That's really kind of what Jesus is saying. You know, just love God, love people, by serving God, by serving people. Wherever God has placed you in life, if your attitude is right, and you're there to serve God by serving people, you'll find that peace that surpasses all understanding. You will know that you're in God's will for your life. You could be a truck driver, you could be a carpenter, a doctor, a nurse, an Indian chief, whatever. I really think God kind of leaves that up to us based on our personal, you know, spiritual gifts and our natural gifts. And we begin to develop those around the Word of God, and we're there to honor God and give Him praise and glory. And then we follow Him, we walk in the Spirit, right? We walk in the Spirit. And that's where we'll find true peace. That's where we'll find our calling. That's where you'll find your purpose in life. I really believe God's will for all of our lives is to just love Him and love people. I believe that's God's will for our life. Now you have to search that out for yourself, right? You know? And then God's purpose for your life, I believe, is based on the gifts that He's given you. And He's given every one of you a gift. Spiritual gift and a natural gift. If you'll give it to God, you'll find what God's called you to do, sir, in life. Amen? All right, that's all I have. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's do this. Father, I just thank You so much, Lord, for this little opportunity to brag on You and help my brothers here. And Lord, I thank You that they've helped me too. I've been blessed. I know my wife's been blessed this morning. And more than anything, You've blessed us, I believe. And You've taught us something. And You've taught me a couple more cool things in there too as I was preaching. So I thank You for that. Because it helps me too. And Lord, I just pray if there's one here today that doesn't know You on a personal level. I'm not talking about religion or trying to be religious or any of that, because I know that religion really doesn't work. You know, it's the religious people who crucified Jesus. I'm talking about a personal relationship with You, with Almighty God who loves us and loves us with an everlasting love. But there's one here who's never experienced that personal, intimate relationship with You, has never given their life to Christ. You know, if that's you, just raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you if you'd like to get saved this morning and give your life to Jesus. All right, awesome. Thank You, Jesus. All right, if everyone could just pray with me, and this person can pray aloud, is that okay? And we keep our eyes closed. And if that's you, just say this prayer with me and just repeat it to the Lord, and then we'll get somebody to get with you after the service or during the service at the end here. So just pray with me. And everybody pray aloud if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, the best way I know how, I give my life to You. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And You rose Him from the grave. And from this day forward, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to read Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, sir.